Well, good afternoon, everyone. It's a beautiful Sabbath. Of course, I've been gone for a couple of weeks here, and it wasn't very beautiful then, so I guess you appreciated that I was out of town, and you didn't have to drive in the snow, because when I left the Chicago area, we had nice 15, 60 degree weather, and we left on a Sunday, and then I guess it got cold during that week, and the next week you had this horrible, horrible storm up here. It was sleet and rain and snow and cold and power outages and everything else, and I stay nice and warm because we're down south. So it worked out for me. I wish it would have worked out as well for you. I was just so used to that nice weather, we just came back just in time for the first day of spring. A little cold, but all the snow had melted, and I guess later this week it's supposed to get up to the 50s, 60s, and maybe even touch on 70 by next weekend. So hopefully spring is here finally. Well, I want to say greetings to all who are receiving the regular Sabbath tapes. And I know that you were interrupted a couple of weeks here for tapes, but I was on a trip, and we were able to officially start two new churches, one down in the Big Sandy, Texas area, and the other in the Joplin, Missouri area. And we have brethren there that are meeting on Sabbath and listening to these tapes, and they're all very excited, and the areas are growing. We have areas now starting to get going all over the country. When I got back from this trip, we had a lot of letters from all over. And people keep passing this and passing it around, so the people keep on writing in. And it's always exciting. And to all of you who are listening to these tapes, especially in those areas, I was able to ordain a local elder down in the Big Sandy area. And I don't like to use a lot of names on these tapes. We never know where they're going to end up. So all of you who are in that area will know who I ordained. And I'll give you a clue. He used to be known in Chicago as the Super Deacon. And now he's down in the Texas area. And God has been doing quite a work with him. And I go where I see God's Spirit. I don't go on flashy words and somebody trying to think of how wonderful they are. I go on what God is doing, and I will continue to always do that. God reveals that, and I go with what he wants, where he is bearing the fruit. So he will be my eyes and ears down there, and I trust him greatly. I've known him for over 30 years. He's always been very loyal to God's church. So it is really getting stirred up out there, and everyone wants all the tapes. You know, when they hear the light, I announced about every tape we had at the time, and now they write and say, we want them all, quickly send them to me. So we will be able to get them out in order and get them to everyone. And we did just get a brand new professional Sony tape duplicator, and we'll be adding on to that very quickly. So we're able to do a lot more tapes a lot faster. So, well, today I wanted to, we have been going through this series on Isaiah, but I'm going to have to postpone probably the last two episodes on that until after Days of Unleavened Bread. Because some things came up, and things have been going through my mind on this. And the title to this sermon is, and it may sound strange at first, but bear with me, Seven Women to One Man. Seven Women to One Man. That's the title of this. Now, bachelors, any bachelors who are listening, you know, just settle down a little bit. Just settle down. That doesn't mean that someday you're going to end up with seven women. You know, But we'll be talking today about this subject, and also why God always uses one guide or one servant to his people, and how important that really is. You know, why he works only through his government and his spirit. This isn't a free-for-all. He doesn't work through committees and all kinds of self-appointed people. When he appoints somebody, he puts his spirit there, and then he reveals the truth to that individual at that time so that they can carry on the work that God wants them to do. You know, it's just like there's a new man in church, and he was passing on some of our material to a friend, and he wrote and he says, you know, this could not have come from a man. It could only come from God. And that's what everyone has said, because we know that that is the way God does things. God does things in order. He does not do things in confusion. Satan does things in confusion. If you see confusion in the church or the organization that you're in now, that's who's doing it. Because God never is confused. Everything is in order with him. And God is now, right now, getting the bride ready. He is revealing himself, and he's also revealing Satan, so we can understand what really is going on. He works through his spirit, and he, God, will prepare us. What he always does, use a servant to do that, always, throughout all of history. Well, now, we want to look at something and see the way, you know, how did God's church teach us about the seven women and one man? Now, if some of you have not been in the church a long time, maybe you haven't heard this, but most of you already know what I'm talking about. Well, I'll give you version number one right now. Version one, number one, is what we were always taught within the church. And we had nothing else to compare with it, so we believe that. Let's turn over to Isaiah. In Isaiah 4, there's a reason I'm giving this sermon as well. But this kind of goes along, too, with our understanding of what God did through Isaiah and the great prophet that he really was, that he laid out the entire plan of salvation, plus give prophecies to the local nation at the time. Now, the setting for this, if you read back, we may want to turn back here to Isaiah 2. Number 2:12. Okay, Isaiah 2:12, just to get the setting of where he's leading up to when he gets in here to chapter 4. It says, "For the day of the Lord of hosts shall be upon everyone that is proud and lofty, and upon everyone that is lifted up, and he shall be brought low." And if you can go ahead and go through this. But we know by going through Isaiah that this is talking about the day of the Lord. Way at the end, after the thousand-year period, after Satan's been released, after he has caused and confused the whole world again, and God brings then this day of the Lord and the seven last plagues or the seven last vials and pours those out on the earth and kills and destroys everything, Satan, his demons, and all mankind, and all living flesh. And this is what he is talking about here. And as he proceeds, as we get over to Isaiah 4, well, let's start here in verse 25 of Isaiah 3. He says, "Thy men shall fall by the sword, and thy mighty in the war. And her gates shall lament and mourn, and she, being desolate, shall sit upon the ground." It's talking about this day of the Lord, when all these things are going to happen. So here we come to verse 1 of chapter 4 of Isaiah, and it says, in that day, seven women shall take hold of one man, saying, we will eat our own bread and wear our own apparel. Only let us be called by thy name to take away our reproach. Now, the way the worldwide and all of us used to think this was, because we had that satanic theory of the plan of God, and we had to work it into our theory, it was always explained that during this time, all the young men, all the males, they were all in war. They were fighting Gog and Magog. They were out there in the last great day. All these big armies were all fighting against one another. And of course, they were being killed, and all the women were still at home, and all the young women were there, and all the men were being slaughtered. And so when they would come home, or if any men were left around, all these women would go after the men. And they want children, and they want to be married, and they also want to be protected. Now, they're working. You see, they have their money. They have their bread. They have their apparel. They don't need a man for that. They need a man to be married. They need a man for that protection, because all these wars are going on. And that's the way it was always explained within the Church of God. And, you know, none of us knew any different, so we went ahead and, you know, believed that. And, of course, the ministry around the world would always put their own spin on it and say, well, this is the time when women were going to be all independent and career-oriented, and, you know, they'd always use that to kind of trash the ladies. And all they were doing is trashing their own sisters and really their own blood. You know, we were all shooting ourselves in the foot, weren't we? Every time we went to judge somebody, we're judging ourselves. Boy, it's a good thing God rescued us and he sealed us, because in his sight, we really were from the east to the west, weren't we, from his thinking. But they wanted also to be called, you know, let us be called by your name. Let me be able to marry you, see, and have some protection on this. You know, take away this reproach, because they could see the armies coming. They could see all this. This was this great tribulation, and they'd have a man there to help protect them. So that's basically what the church was always telling us about this, and that's what you know, that was man's or Satan's counterfeit that was taught. You know, and it all fit into the theory that we had. Well, we had to maneuver all the scriptures around to fit into the theory, didn't we? Well, sometime back here, a while back, and this is very, very interesting, a man got me aside, invited us to, and we were there with some other people, and he had listened to, our lessons and our articles and listened to our tapes. And he had something else in mind. And it was a very interesting evening for everyone to see. And he's a very nice man and wife. And I really did enjoy being with him up until this part. But I could see that we probably, in other circumstances, could be very good friends. I enjoyed his mind. I enjoyed the things that we were talking about physically. And he had some things that he showed us, and was very nice, and he's very pleasant, very, very pleasant man, and his wife as well. And hopefully someday they will be with us. I certainly hope that for everyone. And if not, well then fine, we'll all be together later anyway. So it's all going to work out good. I don't judge people, but I do discern the spirits. And I'm not going to be tricked or moved into something else. So I met this man a while back, and he had been in worldwide for many years. I think his children went to Ambassador College and all that, And now he's just kind of hanging around with a lot of small little, very small little splinter groups, and really having his own take on how God must be working now. And I'm saying this, and we're putting this into a sermon. You don't know who the person was, and I'm not going to ever tell you. But I know that there's an awful lot of people out there with one variation to this theme or another. And that's why we're covering this, and we're going to show you how God does work through his servant, and that he does reveal his truth. And he also shows us how many other weird explanations and understandings that Satan can make us believe. And he can just deceive people very, very easily. And if God backs off and he wants to accomplish a particular thing, boom, he just does it. And you think that we have strength? We don't have any strength. God is our strength. And so the man, I explained certain things, and he was very patient, and he listened to me. I'm going through different things. We talked about choice. We talked about what happened in the Garden of Eden. And so I had talked for a while, and I thought, well, that was kind of him not to interrupt in that. So I certainly will return that favor. And obviously he has us here he wants to tell us something, because that's why we came. He obviously wanted to do that. So he was polite with me, and I will be polite with them. And so the man started to go in and started to talk about how all these, everyone, you say in your tapes how you haven't heard this from any other man, and that you didn't know any of this stuff. You're hearing it from the first time. And he was mentioning how referring to this little group or whatever that they are in, and all of us knew all of that. We already knew all of that. And I'm thinking, well, if you knew all of that, then you'd be with me, wouldn't you? But you don't. You don't understand it. You're taking little guesses here and there, but you don't have biblical things. And as it kind of came out more and more, because it was the first time I met with a man, the lack of spiritual understanding became more and more, and that's no discredit, because God gives us that. We can't do that on our own. So he was building up to this, and then he asked me, well, do you know what Isaiah 4, chapter 1, about these women, do you know what this means? And I said, I never answer those. Those are loaded questions in the first place. So I'm smart enough not to do that. And I said, well, I'd have to go back and study it, and I have to see what comes before it and what comes after it, and kind of see what it is. And if it's some historical take or something, I'll be able to see that in there. And if not, God has to reveal those things to you. And without really sitting down, I can't really tell you. Well, he says, well, I'll read a little bit before and after. Not now. Now do you know? Now do you know? I said, well, I'd really have to study that. And I said, well, what do you think? Well, this is what he's been waiting for. And like I said, he did everything very nice. This is not to down the individual, because I really liked him. He was a very, very nice man. And he said, but this is where he kind of came unglued a little bit on this religious stuff, that little fervor there. And he says, well, he said, now if you have God's Spirit, if you have God's Spirit, when I explain this, you're going to understand this. Of course, he heard that over and over in the tapes that he already listened to that I had said. And so he says, well, we know the woman. He says, the woman is the church. He says, that's what the woman is. And we all can understand that. And of course, I'm thinking, he's already taking this out of context now, but I'll let it go. And he says, these seven women that it's talking about, they're the seven churches. They're the seven heirs of the church. And you see, they've disqualified themselves. Well, right there, I knew that we're having a big problem here in understanding. So he says, I'll just go through and explain it, basically what he said. Because I know others are thinking this. And others are out there believing that they can sit by themselves And the Holy Spirit is working with each one of them individually to understand all of the truth of God. Well, I'm sorry, it doesn't happen that way. It never has, and it never will. The only way that will ever happen will be in the great last day. But the Holy Spirit will be with everyone, and God will be there. So, I think you'll be able to see what spirit was driving this man. And we've all been deceived. And we've been in the church for many years and still were deceived. And it's a good thing that God sealed us so that we couldn't lose anything. But everyone goes through different stages. And hopefully he will hear this tape, and he will hear the correct and proper understanding, and it will shake him enough to say, wow, yes, God does send a servant, and God does have a guide, and we need to get in line here. So anyway, he says, in the day, seven women, these are seven churches, shall take hold of one man, you know, trying to hold on to Christ here, saying, we will eat our own bread. See, we don't want your bread. We don't want your stuff. We're going to do it our own way. And we're going to wear our own apparel. See, not that armor, what do they call that? The suit of armor, anyway. They're in Ephesians, whatever. You know, the breastplate of righteousness and the shield of faith and all that stuff. You know, not that. Not righteousness that came from God. We're going to do it our way. See? And it says, we're going to wear our own apparel. Only let us be called by your name to take away our reproach. So they're going to do it their way, but they still want to be with God and to take Christ's name, like we're the church of God, and so we won't get any reproach, but we're still going to do it our way. And so he's going on and on about this, and he's getting kind of riled up there on the edge of his seat. He was really pounding this in because he was going to instruct me. He's going to show me how far off that we were. And, you know, they all believed, all these churches believed what they wanted to and did their own way, but still wanted salvation, see, with Christ's name. So then he told me, now this is a shocker. I've never heard this theory yet. This was interesting. I think you all know that this theory can only come from one source. There's only the God's way and there's Satan's way. There's only two ways of thinking. So this man tells me, he says, you know that all seven churches, all seven eras have disqualified themselves? And I went, whoa, are we deep into this now? We're really deep. And I looked around the room to the other people who were with me, and, you know, their eyes were kind of bugged, and like saucers, and going, what did we bring you into here, you know? especially the one lady, she said, you know, that little orphan Annie look? You know, the cartoon, her eyes were big, and it was like, oh, I can't believe this, you know? Because now, for the first time, the Spirit is really revealing, you know, himself. And in no way am I saying that the man was possessed. I'm not saying that. I'm just saying that that's, the Spirit was coming out. And it was that spirit of counterfeit and the spirit of Satan, not of truth. So, we've all gone through it. We've all been there, done that, seen that. Thank God we're not there anymore. Or at least he continues to pull us out of that. So then, after that statement, so I was just sitting there, and I'm agreeing. I'm not agreeing, I'm just, you know, being polite. And then he says that all the prophets had disqualified themselves. I went, wow, what a leap here. Where are we going here? And he says, and that includes Herbert W. Armstrong. He disqualified himself. The way he ran this church and put himself between Christ and us and all of this. And then Joe DeCotch Sr., he disqualified himself. They all disqualified themselves. And now God was going to, after all this was disqualified, the seven areas of God's church. Of course, this is God's holy, true church. They disqualified themselves. And all the prophets, and we've been learning more through this Isaiah series, how important these prophets really were, and that's the foundation that the church even stands on today. They've disqualified themselves, but now God is just going to use His Spirit to work in our hearts individually, see, each person to know Christ. See, and I wanted to throw in there and say, was that to know the sweet little Lord Jesus Christ? Or is that some other Christ? You know, because he was starting to sound so Protestant, and he didn't even know what he was talking about. He didn't even know that he was in that spirit. Now, I've heard things like this before, not on this particular thing, but all the way that he was going was, you know, I'm thinking, do you realize how far out of God's church and in your thinking you already are? And the next step is just to all let the whole world, let's all of us Christians hold hands and just go right back down to our local little churches, because God works in our hearts. He told me that he knew old people, I think he even said old black people, you know, out there in West Virginia in little shacks they live in, and they know more about God and his law and about Jesus Christ than Herbert Armstrong ever did. It's interesting, none of them are keeping the Sabbath, none of them are keeping the holy days. They're probably still swilling down the pig. And yet, this spirit was trying to do something against God's anointed. Boy, he was really going at this. He said, well, there are other friends in the room, their hair was already standing up. I was enjoying this. I enjoyed it to know I do not play with spirits. But if I'm put into a position and I am there, I will listen. And I want to know what kind of garbage they're spreading all over to all the other people. And then I know what other attitudes are going on out there. Otherwise, if we can, we just excuse ourselves and go. I already know the mind, and it was kind of scaring other people there a little bit. And then the man said, in fact, you can even throw away the Bible, because God would do it in our hearts, but only if you chose to follow him. I mean, he really did throw away all the Bible anyway, so why did we even go to that scripture? You know, especially when it was so perverted on this thing. So, and he says, God would not work through a man anymore, because everyone's always disqualified themselves. So this is the reasoning. Now they can meet in all their little groups, see. All these men that God has used, all the prophets, all of the, you know, we might as well throw Christ in there too. You know, I know he's perfect, but he was a man. And all the apostles, all the men who are over all the different areas of the church, throw them all out, they all disqualified themselves. Here's another plan that God had going. Oh, poor God. Oh, poor God. Don't you feel sorry for this guy? He just can't get it right. And he has to go down so low now, that he's got to work individually with everyone's little heart to know the sweet little Lord Jesus. What kind of a God do people worship? I guess this is another one of his plans that failed. The church now has utterly failed, so we might as well just throw out the whole Bible now. You know what? This is all building up to something. You can see where this spirit was headed on this, or at least the influence of the spirit. This man literally begged me. He begged me and he pleaded with me not to start a church organization with a man over it. He begged me, please don't do this. Take yourself out of the running. Just kind of
kind of stay home and don't do anything. Just God's going to do it. God's going to work in everyone's hearts here. Just let it alone. Well, you know, I guess if you were deceived by Satan, you would not want God's servant to do the job that God wanted him to do, would you? Because it just exposes Satan even more. You would want to rebuke him, not to reveal, see, Satan and God's true plan of salvation. That's what he was asking me to do. Sit back. Shut up. Don't have anything to do with it. Just let people out there on their own like they are right now, all scattered. And he also came pointed right at me. He says, he also told me that if I did this, if I was part of this organization and I was this man doing this, that I would become the man of sin sitting in the temple of God. Oh, I think what we have here is the pot calling the kettle black. You see, now I'm saying this to let you know how that other spirit works. And remember, that other spirit is extremely consistent too. And it'll try to do everything it can to make God's church and his leaders go away. They don't want to. This time they're being exposed. No one begged Mr. Armstrong. No one begged even Mr. DeCotch. And no one begged anyone else. But he was begging. He was begging. Because this is the beginning of their doom. This is the beginning of their path right into the lake of fire. Because we're exposing them for what they are. And get this, also that evening I was told this, that God was now tearing out the thing. This is so ludicrous. It was after this where we said, well, I think it's getting late, we have to go. Because I could see people's eyes there in the room and they were going, whoa, we want out of here. So we're all told this, that now, get the logic of this now. I was told that God was tearing down his spiritual temple, stone by stone. Remember, one stone would not be left upon another. That was thrown in there. And so God now is tearing down his spiritual temple, stone by stone. And that now each person would be a small spiritual pebble running around and understanding Christ. You know, God says when you build a house, you build it on the rock. What is that rock? That rock is not only Jesus Christ. That rock is the apostles, and that rock is all the prophets. And it's the entire thing of what God has done here in this Bible, lay that foundation. And when God builds the temple on that foundation, which he has over the last 2,000 years, I don't care what rainstorm, I don't care what Satan will try to throw at it, what does he say? It stands sure, and it's solid, and it's one stone upon the other, all fitly framed together. Isn't it? That's God's house. But I was told by this opposing spirit that God was tearing down his spiritual temple that he built. Well, at that point, I see, you know, all of you can see that it was time to bid everyone good night and leave. It wasn't going to get any better than this, you know. So I told him, I looked at him, and I told him, and I said, you know, I really do enjoy hearing other people's opinions on things, but that I would do exactly what God wanted me to do, and I would follow his Holy Spirit completely. And nothing would ever get in the way of that. because it's too strong and it's too powerful. And we would continue to gather this bride together to prepare it through the very Spirit of God Almighty. And we'd continue to expose Satan and his demons until we saw them in the lake of fire. And with that, we said goodbye, thank you for the evening, and we left. I won't tell you the comments that were going on in the car as we were driving. but again, I don't want anyone to think that I'm downing the individual. I really did truly like this man and his wife, and they're very congenial and very nice. But I wanted to point out, and I'm going to point out to him, because he will hear this tape, that God does send a servant, he does send a guide, and it's just a hireling. Jesus Christ is our true shepherd, but all we are is hirelings. But we're hired by him, and he pays us with his money to watch that flock. And if God does not, as we learned in John 10, if God, through the power of his Spirit, does not keep that guide or that servant faithful, that servant, this great servant of God that we've seen in the past and all the way through over all the areas of God's church, they would just completely run away as soon as they saw Satan. Because, brethren, we have no power. I have no power. That wolf is strong. That wolf begged, pleaded that we would stop this. He couldn't hurt me. So the only thing he could do was beg. And I'm very happy to report that the begging fell on very cold, stony ears. And we will continue this work. This work throughout this country is now starting to really blossom and gather steam, and nothing is going to stop it. Nothing will get in the way of that. Well, now you've heard two versions of this. What does this mean? Obviously it wasn't the second version I just told you here. We know that. What does this mean? You know, I didn't know what this meant. And we had just gone through Isaiah, and I'd have to go back and listen to the tapes. I'm so busy that I can't go back and listen to these tapes, because I have to prepare for the next week, and I don't have the time to go back, and there's too many things to do. So, going through, I don't know if we read that or not. I may have even given the old explanation. I don't know. I don't think so. I think I was wise enough not to say it. Usually now, if I don't know what it is, I just skip over it, because it's when God wants to reveal it, that is when we'll hear it. So I really didn't know exactly what this meant at all, and so we dropped off these other people, and we were staying with some other friends at their home. So we went back, and then of course they all wanted to talk, so we were up quite late. I think it was on a Sunday evening, so we stayed up, and they poured a couple of drinks, and after all of this, I was looking for a nice drink, now in moderation and church standards. I'm not talking world standards here. And we had a drink, we sat around, we talked with this other couple. I was explaining this to them a little bit, and said, I really don't know what that is, and we were talking about other things. And so it was quite late, and we went to bed, and our Bibles, all of our Bibles were still in the car, and I was in the other person's home. I didn't know where their Bibles were. So I'll just tell you again and show you very plainly how God does this and how he does work through his servant. So, and I was laying in bed, and I was just ready to fall asleep, and I just started to pray and ask the Father, say, Father, I don't know what this Isaiah 4:1 is. I don't have the explanation of that. Obviously, it was not what we heard tonight. You know, we know that. And obviously, it wasn't from what we learned from Worldwide way in the past.
and we just didn't understand. So I wanted to know what it is, and I said, you know, please reveal this to me so that I know, and that we can show these other people that we're going to be with the next day as well, exactly what this is, and let your spirit now reveal it. And I'm telling you, immediately came right into the head. This is the way he always does it with me. I can't tell you what revelations are. Paul never did either, because it just comes, and there it is. And so when he did this, I was absolutely amazed, and I went, wow. Well, wow. Well, that must be it. You know, that's it. And I was able to, and I said, well, thank you, Father, that obviously that's what it is. And we will check this out in the morning, because I always check. You know, God says, try the spirits. You know, I know there's powerful forces out there. So, we'll check that out in the morning. And because I am beat, and I'm going to go to sleep as soon as I say goodnight here. And I did, and I went to sleep. So I had a very nice sleep, probably because I had a nice drink. I was really beat. So next thing in the morning, when I got up, my wife had already been dressed, and I got up and came out and started talking to the people out there a little bit. And then before I went to finally get dressed, I told my wife the following things.